Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
I want to read this morning out of 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. And Peter, one of Christ's disciples, says this, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you." And then at verse 20 in chapter 2, he says this, "There's no particular virtue in accepting punishment that you well deserve, but if you're treated badly for good behavior and continue in spite of it to be a good servant, that is what counts with God." This is the kind of life you've been invited into, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step, or another translation, in his steps. The year was 1864. The man at the time was 38 years old when he was admitted to Bellevue Hospital in New York City. His throat had been slashed on that cold January morning. At the time, he'd been living in a 28-cent-a-night room in the Bowery in New York. He was a bum by trade, an alcoholic by fate. His wife had left him 3 years earlier. He'd lay in that hospital, unable to eat, begging for yet another drink. Without medical care, he was a charity case. Reminiscing about times gone by, this forgotten man was just another of the Bowery's victims, a drunken derelict with no prospects on an irreversible course of self-destruction, a bum, as he was characterized by society then. He died 3 days later with 38 cents in his pocket. But there was a time, long before his death, when this once talented man wrote such memorable songs as Swanee River, Camptown Races, Oh Susanna, My Old Kentucky Home, Beautiful Dreamer, and hundreds more. Stephen Foster, untouched, unwanted, unloved. There are people all around us who feel as Stephen Foster did, unwanted, unnoticed, and unloved. In the last few weeks, we have looked at, as we entered this new year of 2018, at the direction and impact of our lives. 2 weeks ago, we looked at whether our lives were headed toward what was important or not. Last week, we looked at the legacy we live and leave each day, whether it's an eternal profit in our lives and from our lives or a worldly loss. This morning, continuing along those lines, I'd like to take a moment and consider where God puts us and the platforms God trusts us with, to pause for just a moment and consider whether we are using them for the good of others and to impact the world around us, leaving the eternal legacy God intends for you and me to leave, or maybe we're not. In the passages that we read just a moment ago from 1 Peter, we see Peter reminding us that we are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, really, priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, chosen to be God's instruments to do his work. And in that, we are God's image bearers, his light to the world around us. Then in verse 20, Peter reminds us, look, no matter what happens to us in life, what we go through, it is Christ's example and what he did and went through for us that shows us how we are to continue to walk in this world and what we are to do for others. Simply, Peter says, following in his steps, step after step after step, doing what Christ did. Now, you have to remember that Peter, the author of this letter, is the same guy who denied Christ 3 times as Christ was headed to the cross. Yet later, forgiven by Christ and called back to serve with him, Peter, out of his own shortcomings, reminds us to be like Christ, to be his example to others. And maybe that includes the possibility that he is calling us to touch the Stephen Fosters of the world. I don't know, but maybe. Maybe calling you and me to touch those we find in every walk of life, in every station and neighborhood, privileged or underprivileged, near or far, and through our actions to shine the light of his love on a world in desperate need of his touch and our help. A life that reaches out to the unnoticed, the unloved, the untouchables, the homeless, the trafficked and poor, those in desperate circumstances in this world, all whom we can help. Maybe by following his example when he healed the leper, as recorded in chapter 8 of the Gospel of Matthew, where it says a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, "I'm willing, be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. The life of a leper, as you may recall, in Jesus' day was not an easy one, suffering from the scars of physically painful and deforming diseases and from the emotional scars he received as he was rejected by society because of his leprosy. The leper was one of the untouchables of society in those days, living in the isolation of a colony. And if he came out, he had to ring a bell to warn others that he was on the loose again. Yet as this leper stood before Jesus and asked to be healed, Jesus reached out and touched him. Now you understand that Jesus could have healed him from a distance, but he knew the pain, not only of the physical scars and disease, but from the rejection that his life of isolation had caused this poor soul. He'd never been touched, more than likely by anybody other than another leper. Knowing that, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I'm willing, be clean." And in that moment, Jesus healed not only the external physical scars of leprosy, but also the internal emotional scars from years of rejection. Maybe that's what we're called to do. Or, by Christ's example, toward a Samaritan woman who approached him around noon one day while he was sitting at Jacob's well in the town of Samaria. There he was, a man talking to a woman. No. In broad daylight, another no-no. A Jew talking with a hated Samaritan. That woman was a Samaritan. Another no-no. A holy man talking with a sinner. I mean, he broke all the religious laws of the day in talking with that woman. And the woman came to him in shame, living in sin with other men, needing a drink of water, but really needing a new direction in her life. And the water only Jesus could provide her. And Jesus accepted her. And she went away marveling to others about this man who, she said, must be the Christ. He knows everything about me, but he loves me just the same. He calls us to do the same, wherever he has placed us and on whatever platform of influence we stand. Your life work, your friendships, your family, accomplishments, resources all elevate you to a singular position of prominence in the lives of the people and the world around you. These people respect you and place value on your example, whether family, friends or co-workers, acquaintances, we each occupy a platform of importance in their lives. A platform, I might add, that grows with potential impact as you reach out and expand the circles of caring. And that caring grows and grows. A platform that needs to grow as the needs in the world around us continues to grow. We all have platforms from which to impact the world, many platforms. Some of us are married, dating someone very special. We're parents, co-workers, pastors, coaches, sons and daughters, grandparents, godparents, and on and on. What will you do with those platforms? What will we do with our gifts and abilities, our talents and resources? Do we realize that they are from God? Do we understand the difference that we can make in the lives of others in the world around us who are in need around us? One time around, my friends, one time around, to live the life that God intended you to live, one time around to have the eternal impact and to live and leave the legacy you were created for this time in history to leave the imprint on the world and the lives around you, which only you can leave, only you and only me, his disciples, his hands, his feet, and his heart to others. Let me leave you with this to think about. It seems that there was this town with a guy who always got drunk and had to find a place every night to sleep it off. And in the town, the drunken man had one friend. His name was Joe Brown. And every time this drunk lit up the town, his friend, Joe Brown, was there to help him, to sober him up, to get him some coffee and something to eat and find him a place to sleep it off. Every time. Time after time. No questions, no judgment, just help. Then a revival came to town, and Joe Brown had the idea of inviting his friend. So he invited his friend with a drinking problem to the revival. The man sat in the back of the revival tent, fairly well concealed from view, after another long day of drinking, and heard the evangelist say toward the end, "You can be different. You can change your life." And at the end of the service, and at the invitation to come down front and to change his life, the town drunk, now alcohol wearing off, was barely sober. And so he got up and made his way down to the front of the church and said to the preacher, "I want to change. I want to be like Joe Brown." "Oh, no, my child," said the preacher. "You want to be like Jesus." And the man asked, "Well, is Jesus anything like Joe Brown?" There you have it. What do we appear to be like to others around us? Are we his disciples? Are we making a difference in the lives and the world around us? One time around. Let me say it again. One time around. Are we heading toward the important, as we talked about 2 weeks ago? At the end of our journeys, will our lives have reflected an eternal profit or loss, a worldly loss, as we talked about last week? What are we going to do to make an eternal difference in the world? It's fairly simple, actually. We are called to touch the world like Joe Brown did, but more importantly, like Jesus did, to make a difference in all the lives around us day after day until we draw our last breath, in the lives of our families and friends, the Stephen Fosters, the lepers, the lost like that woman at the well, the untouchables and unnoticed, the poor, the dying and abused, everywhere, everywhere, even in our own backyards, until our last breath. How are we doing? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my dear friends. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the impact they've already had. But Lord, I thank you for the reminder that there's so much to do. I thank you for the gifts you've given each one of us. But I thank you also for the reminders of the Stephen Fosters and others, the woman at the well, the lepers, the untouchables, that we need to touch, that are there for us to help. Help us, Lord, to be like Joe Brown. Help us to be like you, to reach out and touch the world, to touch those around us everywhere, that we can, through you, make a difference in their lives. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for the reminder. And thanks for your Son. It's his name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.